Let's turn over to the 10th chapter of Hebrews. These scriptures that I cannot get away from. The once for all sacrifice of the Son of God. Forever, forever there's more in these scriptures. Our text is going to be in the 10th verse, but I'm going to back up and begin reading at the 5th verse. Wherefore, when He that speaks of Christ, the eternal Spirit of Christ, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now, this fulfills what John said in John 1 and 14. He spoke of the Word that was in the beginning with God and was God and the Creator of all things. And in the 14th verse, He said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, this is saying the same thing as here, that when He cometh into the world, He said, a body hast thou prepared me. And that body was the baby Jesus that was laid there in a manger. And yet, that baby Jesus, and this is something that's hard to comprehend, almost hard to accept, but that baby Jesus, from the moment that body was formed in the womb of Mary, that baby Jesus was destined for that cross. He was destined for the cross. There was no other way except that He should go to the cross. You know, and the world would be saved through Him, would be sanctified and cleansed, made holy through Him, through His offering there on that cross. Now, I don't believe there was any conversation in heaven before that Christ came. You know, I don't believe that God spoke to His Son and said, go down and sanctify them and make an end of sins. And if that had been the case, you know, He might have come down and strengthened the law, you know, and made it stronger and ruled with a rod of iron and said, you're not going to do this and so forth. But that wasn't the will of God. The will of God was the death of the Son of God on that cross. It was His death. And when the Scripture says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices of sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it's written of me, that's the law of Moses, to do thy will, O God. Above when He saith, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said He, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And the will of God that He came to do was to die on that cross. Now, Galatians, in the first chapter, I discovered this just this week. And I've known the Scripture for many years, but Galatians 1 and 4. And it speaks, the third verse, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. And here Paul is acknowledging in his letter to the Galatians that it was the will of God the Father that put Him on that cross, where He delivered us from this present evil world. But it was according, it was done according to the will of God our Father. Okay, we're coming back over to the 10th chapter. He says, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that speaks about animal sacrifices, and He establishes the sacrifice of His own body and blood, one time, offered one time, to take away the sin of the world. 10th verse, by the which will, the will of God, that He should suffer and die on the cross. But it says, by the which will, we are sanctified. Now many preachers and good preachers, holiness preachers and so on, preached that it was our sanctification was the will of God. Well, there is that scripture in 1 Thessalonians that said, this is the will of God concerning you, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. But the will of God was not the sanctification. The will of God was His death on the cross. And the scripture says, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And that once for all, one time for all, speaks of for everybody, whosoever will, whosoever believeth, shall not perish. That's for all, but it's also once for all time, forever. He never again would He suffer that cross. Never again would He offer a sacrifice. Made one sacrifice for sin forever. Praise God. And based upon these this words, once for all, I want to go back and look at some of the scriptures leading up to it. In the Hebrews, the 7th chapter, 24th verse, and this man, it's talking about Jesus Christ, because He continues forever, that means that He has eternal life. He is eternal life. Because He continues ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy. He's describing the priesthood and the priest, Jesus, our great high priest. Such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for His own sins and then for the people's. For this He, Jesus Christ, did once when He offered up Himself. But here, it speaks about those priests that offered sacrifices daily and said Christ would not have to offer Himself daily because He offered Himself once. He put away sin by the one offering of Himself because His blood was holy and because He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and higher than the heavens. The offering was holy, harmless, undefiled. And the high priest that offered the offering, you know, was also holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and higher than the heavens. And Christ was the high priest, and Jesus Christ was the sacrifice that He offered. Isn't that that's just really amazing? His body was made for Him, for Christ, the eternal Spirit of Christ, given a body to offer upon that cross. But for 1,500 years, almost, there had been two lambs offered every day. Every single day for 1,500 years, there were two lambs that were offered. It was established in Exodus, the 29th chapter and the 38th verse. Now, this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening. With the one lamb a tenth deal of flour mingled with a fourth part of an hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb shalt thou offer at evening, and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by God unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto you. This is two lambs every day, continually, and it continued until Jesus died on that cross. Almost 1,500 years. Two lambs. That's daily. That's 730 lambs offered every year in this one sacrifice that was instituted. That for 1,500 years, if it lasted 1,500 years, there was 1,090,000 lambs offered for a sin offering. It was a sin offering. Notice it. He didn't say it in the 29th chapter of Exodus, but here it's explained that Christ, because He's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners and higher than the heavens, needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice for their own sins. He never offered a sacrifice for His own sins because He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners and higher than the heavens. Need no need to offer sacrifice for Himself. He had no sin. But He offered Himself once when He offered Himself for the sin of the people. But it was a sin offering. That was a sin offering. The daily sacrifice proves the sinfulness of this people in heart, if not in action, for all that time. That two sin offerings had to be offered every day. And it lasted for almost 1,500 years. Two sin offerings, two coverings for sin. One in the morning and one in the evening. And, oh my, and certainly when these things were instituted, it wasn't because they were an holy people. It's because they were an ungodly people. They were an idolatrous people. They were a sinful people, a rebellious people. They'd rejected the voice of God at Sinai. And within 6 weeks after choosing Moses over God, they had built a golden calf and served to follow the golden calf instead of Moses. And they were incredibly a sinful people that this was instituted upon. Two sin offerings every day. Two sin offerings every day. And yet, due to the fact that it's impossible that the blood of lambs and goats and bullocks should take away sin. That's what Hebrews 10 and 4 tells us. It's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. That's the reason He came into the world with a body and blood to offer. Because the offering of the lambs and goats and bulls could not take away sin. And so there had to always be another sacrifice offered, and that two a day for 1,500 years. But He offered one sacrifice. This He did once when He offered up Himself. We look over to the 9th chapter of Hebrews. We'll start reading the 6th verse of the 9th chapter. And when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always, that's every day, into the first tabernacle accomplishing the service of God. That's the daily sacrifice. They were there killing two lambs every day at the door of that first tabernacle and going in and sprinkling that blood on the table of shoot bread and one other place where they sprinkled that blood upon the instruments of the tabernacle, purging them every day. But they offered them every day for the sins of the people. And they offered first for their own sins and then for the sins of the people. This was in the 6th verse. The priest went always into the first tabernacle accomplishing the service of God. That's the daily sacrifice. Two lambs every day. But into the second tabernacle, behind the second veil, in the tabernacle, went the high priest alone once every year. So he had made this trip for almost 1,500 times behind the veil with the blood of a goat and a bullock to sprinkle there on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant behind the veil where God had promised that He would dwell. And so this priest high priest had to go into the presence of God once a year with the blood of goats and bullocks to sprinkle on the mercy seat. And what a fearful thing that must have been, because he was entered behind the veil into the holiest place made by hands there to present himself before God. And yet he himself was a sinner. He was a sinner. He was unclean. And so it said that in the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, but with the blood of a goat and a bullock, which he offered for himself, because he was a sinner. It'll tell you just a few verses later, ninth verse, said all these things that he did, that the high priest did, there he said, ninth verse, which is a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could never make him that did the service perfect, complete. That was the high priest, pertaining to conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. That's talking about the high priest. When he went behind that veil, he had to be perfect, not in character, because he was a sinner. He was a sinner, and the blood of goats and bullocks could not take away his sin. He was a sinner when he went behind that veil, but he stood only. He stood in that holiest place, stood in the presence of God, only through the meats and the drinks and the divers washings and the carnal ordinances that was imposed upon him until the time of reformation. Things he had to go through, preparing himself to go behind that veil. And yet, when he went as a sinner to do sacrifice for himself as well as for the sins of the people. 11th verse, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Oh my, isn't that wonderful? One time, he entered into the holy place. Not the holy place made with hands, but into heaven itself, he entered with his own blood. Now that happened right after the resurrection. That's not when he ascended to heaven there at the Mount of Olives 40 days later. No, that was for the disciples and the believers to see a further proof of who he was as he was caught up into the clouds in their sight. But when Mary saw him right after the resurrection, just in the garden outside the tomb, she cried out when he called her by name. She recognized him and she cried, Rabboni! And she ran to him and said, don't touch me, because I've not ascended to the Father. Don't touch me. So after Mary was gone, he ascended into heaven right then. Remember, his resurrection body was a body that could appear behind locked and barred doors. A distance was nothing to his resurrection body. And he ascended in his resurrection body. He ascended into heaven itself to appear before God for us. And that word appear, where it's used in another verse, before God for us, means to exhibit himself. I believe he stood there in the heavens when he appeared with his own blood. Before God, and I believe it's almost like he appeared before Doubting Thomas. He stands before his father and said, behold my hands. They were pierced just like he willed them to be. Behold my feet. Behold my brow. Behold my side. It was pierced just like you willed it to be. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing the love of God toward us, that what He would do to His only begotten and only sinless Son to take away our sin. Praise God. I pointed it out that last Sunday at one service, I think it was, but he said when He cometh into the world, it said that thou hast no pleasure, 10 and 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. But over in Isaiah, and this is so important, Isaiah 53 in the 10th verse says, yet it pleased the Lord. No pleasure in the sacrifice of a lamb. No pleasure in the blood of a lamb. No pleasure in seeing a lamb slaughtered, a bullock or a goat slaughtered. No pleasure in that. But it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He had put Him to grief. God, His Father, put Him to grief, bruised Him. Listen to me. It's the will of God. The will of God that caused Him to suffer that cross once for all. Praise God for us, for to take away our sin. The Scripture says over in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, talking about Jesus again, looking unto Jesus, second verse, telling us, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. But what was the joy that was set before Him? It wasn't to sit down at the right hand of the Father. That wasn't the joy set before Him. That had been the case, He would have never left the Father. You know, when He was in the form of God and counted not robbery equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took the form of a man, as made in the likeness of men, for one purpose, to die on that cross. Praise God. And so His joy that was set before Him was our redemption, was our salvation, was our sanctification. That was the joy that was set before Him. A new creation conformed to His image and to His likeness. That was the joy that was set before Him. Praise God, that caused Him to endure the cross and despising the shame, just indifference to the shame of being one that died as a criminal, as a deceiver, as a blasphemer upon a cross, because it was the will of His Father that sent Him. And so, we went through that 11th verse, but Christ, being high priest of good things to come, by greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this limb, neither the blood of goats, but with His own blood. Four times it speaks of His own blood. The high priest always went in with the blood of others, the blood of animals that could never take away sin. But He entered in with His own blood, presented it before His Father God, exhibited Himself, the scars of the thorns, the nail prints, hands and feet, and the side that was opened with the spear, exhibited Himself before God, precious Savior, and the blood with His own blood, which was sprinkled there on the altar, the mercy seat of heaven. Oh, precious Savior, for us, that whosoever would believe upon Him, would believe this gospel and put their trust in Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That was on the cross that He authored and finished our faith. It was on the cross where He suffered and died for us. Well, I want to continue on a little further in the Scriptures from the 10th verse. 11th verse, every priest standeth daily. That's those two a day. They offered, 1,000,000 and 90,000 lambs in 1,500 years. Can you imagine what a farm the priest had to keep? I mean 730 lambs a year in the daily sacrifice. They had to have thousands of sheep. Some of these priests had to be sheep herders. You know, tending the sheep and keeping the sheep. This was not the lambs that the people brought. This is beside. On Passover, every family of Israel had to bring a lamb out of the flocks, a spotless lamb, be offered at the Passover. And so, would that be another million lambs? I don't know. You know, that the families brought. I know that Josiah offered almost 100,000 lambs, and I know at the dedication of the temple, hundreds of thousands of lambs and bullocks were offered in 1 week. Well, for 1 week, solid, 24 hours a day, the priests were sacrificing lambs and goats and bullocks for one full week at the dedication of the temple. And what a bloody, bloody religion it is. My Jewish friend, years ago, while we were on television, and I think he watched one of her television broadcasts where we ministered on the blood of Jesus, and next time he saw me, he said, "Leroy, your religion is nothing but blood and gore." And I didn't say it to him. I didn't want to offend him, but I said, "You're a Jew, and you say my religion is just blood and gore? When our Savior gave Himself once, shed His blood once, and you slaughtered over 1 million lambs in the daily sacrifice alone, millions more to Passover, goats and bullocks and lambs and all these things, and scapegoats and sin offerings and all these different things, and you say that our religion is blood and gore, which He offered one time forever." But I consider what an industry it was. I mean, there must have been priests assigned to get up every morning, go out to the flocks and find two lambs without spot and bring them in to the tabernacle and stake the one and slaughter the other one. Keep the other until the evening sacrifice that began at 3 in the afternoon our time and slaughter the second one. Prepare them in a special way with special incenses, so that when they were slaughtered, that a sweet-smelling savor would come up in the camp and would come up even unto God, that it must offer that sweet-smelling savor. But can you comprehend what that tabernacle would have smelled like without the special incenses? A slaughterhouse. I mean, the tabernacle itself was a slaughterhouse. Think about it. Two lambs killed every day, continually. Every day these priests get up the next morning, go get two lambs out of the flocks, bring them in, stake the one, slaughter the first, and then 3 in the afternoon, slaughter the second, prepare him the same way, burn him to ashes up on the altar. Oh, that continued forever. And yet because he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and higher than the heavens, he didn't have to do it daily. He did not have to do it daily. But every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes, that's twice a day, the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. You talk about an exercise in futility. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. I want to go back to the first two verses of this chapter. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Now, this would have been the yearly Day of Atonement, where the high priest went behind the veil with the blood of goats and bullocks. For then, if they could have made the comers complete, then would they not have ceased to be offered? If the blood of goats and bullocks could have taken away sin, they would have never offered another one. Because the worshipers, once purged, once cleansed, should have had no more conscience of sins. Sin would not be in their actions because sin would not be in their heart. It would not be in their nature. Their sin taken away by the blood of the Lamb of God that was offered one time for us. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance made again of sins every year. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. That was the Day of Atonement offering behind the veil. Couldn't take away sin. So every year, there was a remembrance made of sins. Now this remembrance of sins means this. Get the picture now. Two lambs, sin offerings offered every day for the sins of the priest and for the people. Every day, twice a day. Every day. And then every year on the Day of Atonement, the blood of a bullock and a goat taken into the holiest of all by the high priest and sprinkled on the mercy seat for the sins of the high priest and for the people. Every day. Every year. Once a year. But it covered sin. Could not take them away. But it covered sin. The nation and the people were safe. As long as a daily sacrifice was offered every day, they were safe until the next year. And that would be the Day of Atonement. At the Day of Atonement, every sin that the people had committed came back up in remembrance before God because they were never taken away. They couldn't be taken away. And so there is a remembrance again of sins every year. A remembrance of sins again. And that's every year. Well, let's go on reading down here in the 10th chapter now. For by one offering, 14th verse, he hath perfected or completed forever them that are sanctified. Well, that fits the 10th verse. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, everybody, and forever. And now then, for by one offering, he hath completed forever what the law could not do. He did. Forever them that are sanctified. See, the sanctification itself made us complete. The sanctification itself is the transformation from sin to righteousness, unrighteousness to righteousness, ungodliness to godliness, from sin to freedom from sin. The sanctification by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ takes care of all of that, and it's finished at the cross. Whereof, 15th verse, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I want to go to Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Thank God it opened right to it. In the 31st verse, God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although as an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. You won't have to teach the people to know God or how to know God or how to serve God. For they'll all know me. They'll all know me. When I've written my laws in their heart and put it in their inward parts. That's what He's done through that sanctification, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. When Christ comes in, God's laws are written upon your heart. You've received the character of God when you've received Christ, your life, to live in you. Nevertheless, He said, they'll all know me from the least to the greatest of them. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Now that was a promise that when He did this, that He would remember their sin no more. And then here in Hebrews 10, He's quoting that, I'll put my laws in their hearts, 16th verse, and their minds will upright them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now what's this talking about? I can tell you that the modern theology says that God does not keep a record of your sins. That the blood of Jesus covers sins. They reckon the blood of Jesus no better than the blood of the animals. Except that it being the blood of the Son of God, that it covered sins by one offering, and that your sins are covered forever, and you're still a sinner, and God can't see them because they're covered by the blood of... That's modern theology. It's also a lie. It's a damning thing. It's a horrible thing. It'll damn everybody that believes it. Listen to me. But here it says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Well, they use that verse to try to prove that God doesn't keep a record of our sins, that we sin and there's no record kept, and so He'll never remember sins against us when we stand before Him. But what this is saying is that with the blood of goats and the bullocks, because they could not take away sin, every year there had to be another goat and a bullock offered and the blood carried into the holiest of all. Because there is a remembrance again of sins every year, once a year, on that great day of atonement. A remembrance again, but God said, I won't remember their sins again. Why? Why would He not remember their sins? Because their sin has been taken away, been purged, to never be another sacrifice, never be another offering. Now, where remission of these is, remission speaks of sins taken away, freedom from sin, sins sent away. Now, where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. There's never remission for sins with the blood of goats and bullocks. But with the blood of Christ, there's remission of sins, freedom from sin, when the blood of Christ was offered. Because He washed us with His own blood from our sins in His own blood. Praise God. We're washed, we're sanctified, we're justified. And all this in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Never again will there be blood offered for the sins of the people. Never again. Christ made one sacrifice forever, and another animal sacrifice would be an abomination to God. There are those modern scholars that teach that animal sacrifices be reinstituted during the thousand-year reign of Christ. That is absolute foolishness. Absolute foolishness. For remission of these is no more offering for sins, and the offering of animal blood could not take away sins. There's one offering once forever. Once forever. If those during that millennial reign, if they turn to Christ to believe, it'd be the same blood that He shed on that cross that will also receive them and sanctify them. And, you know, until the end of this world, anybody that saved or cleansed or sanctified. It'll be that same blood that He offered in the holiest of holies of heaven itself. And so, where remission of these is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way which He's consecrated for us through the veil that is through His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I believe, in the altar several nights ago, praying and worshiping God, and I begin to hear those words, let us draw near. Let us draw near. Let us draw near, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil that is in His flesh. Having a high priest, that's Jesus Christ, over the house of God, our great high priest. Let us draw near with a true heart, a new heart, a pure heart, a clean heart, a sanctified heart, a holy heart, with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. The water and the blood of sprinkling that poured out of His side when they pierced Him with His spear on that cross. That's the blood. That's the blood that sprinkled us, made us clean, pure, and holy, that washed us in the pure water for our bodies, that we'd be sanctified spirit, soul, and body, and our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. And these 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd verses, having boldness to enter by the blood of Jesus, and let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of having our hearts sprinkled with the blood of Jesus, is based upon having therefore, seeing that all this once for all, this once forever, hallelujah, one sacrifice forever, having sanctified us, made us holy by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It's based upon that He says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. No doubting, no fears, no doubts, but with boldness to draw near, to come right into the presence of God. That's the holiest. That's where Jesus went with His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us all. That's what the Scripture said. And He presented the blood there. Hallelujah. And He said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, that's to follow Him into that holiest of holies, into heaven itself. But we don't have to die to go to heaven in this, but we're caught up. We're caught up into that heavenly place, that holy place. Boldness to enter. Will you draw near? Will you draw near? When I heard those words, let us draw near, immediately my mind went to the song, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. And I went to that, and suddenly I realized, no, the song says, draw me nearer. But the Scripture says, draw near. The Scripture says, draw near. We can sing, draw me nearer. And if I'm not drawn, maybe I have an excuse. But I don't have an excuse. Because by the will of God, when He offered His body and blood on that cross, we are sanctified. We are sanctified. We can draw near. We can draw near to Him in the holiest of all, there to serve Him in His presence forever.